Well, welcome to Palm Sunday. Debbie and I went to a play called The Thorn, and we went several years ago and really enjoyed it. It's a passion play, but it's all music, and it's really, really, really a neat play. And as we watched the scene unfold and we went through things, it came to the place where Christ was to ride on the colt donkey and come in. And as he came through the church, it was a real big church, it was just all I could do to keep it together. You know, when I thought about the fact that we were celebrating, and this Sunday we celebrate the fact that Christ rides in to Jerusalem as the king. And the people were so excited. And so I want to go back to Isaiah 53, because this is what I was thinking about as I was watching him writing, and they read that in worship. He is despised and rejected by men. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions and was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. And, you know, I thought about that because this is Isaiah saying it 1,000 years before it happened. And we look at that and he comes in. The people saw this hero king riding in on a colt, and I saw this humbled king that the scripture talks about, and he wasn't going to be his hero king. Instead, he was going to die for their sins and our sins. And God, I look at it, and God was so smart. I mean, that sounds funny to say, isn't it? But God's so smart, the way he put it together, to die for us rather than to occupy the throne at that point. Excuse me, tricking Satan into thinking that he had defeated Jesus Christ, because his whole goal was eliminate the line of David and prophecy can't be fulfilled. And so Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. I love this. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Isn't that a neat verse? They wouldn't have done it because we won. Do you get that? He won, we won. It was that day that settled the score, that day that appeased God, that day that we became the winners in this game of whatever's going on throughout this whole historical period. And this week starts spectacular events of occurring with Jesus as he enters into the last week of his life on earth, and he knows it's his last week. Now, I don't know how you feel, but if it's your last week, it'd be hard to keep your composure, wouldn't it? And yet we see the calm and humble Jesus. And so I want to carry us into the events of Palm Sunday. Some of you may not understand it. You've heard the name. But let me just tell you a little bit about it. And I think we can marvel at God's unique way of telling us just what he's going to accomplish. So coming up to this weekend, on Friday in the morning, we see Jesus and the disciples walking. They have walked from Galilee all the way down to Bethany. And Bethany is about 3 to 4 miles on the other side of Mount Olives to go to Jerusalem. And it's no secret what Jesus' intention is and his Father's intention. And all who lived within a 25 or 20-mile radius of Jerusalem was required to come to Jerusalem for the Passover, and but delighted. And all Jews all over the world would come during that time and come in maybe a week before and set up and find lodging and go through the Passover. And many of them would stay 50 days all the way to Pentecost, which is where we see Peter teaching in the temple. And but this is a spectacular year for Jerusalem. There is this man named Jesus. And everybody is aware that he is the ancestry of King David. He's healing, he's performing miracles, and seems to point to him to be the Messiah. And you could hear the whispers, I'm sure, all over Jerusalem and the area. Could he be the new king? Could he be the coming one of which the prophet spoke? And the people desperately needed a promised Messiah, a conquering hero king, to free them from the oppression of the Romans, captors at that point. Even his disciples felt the same way, right up to his death, anticipating that all of a sudden Jesus would change and he would sit on his throne, create an army, and defeat the Romans. And so the people breathlessly await. It's got to be him. It's got to be that Jesus from Nazareth. So the roads are prepared and the tombs are whitewashed and the children rehearse their parts for the Passover and they end up learning how to answer the question, why is this night different from all other nights? The question of the Passover. The prophet David foretold when this event of the coming Messiah would occur, and it looks like it's now. Can you imagine the thrill in their hearts, realizing that Jesus is going to come in and take his throne? And, you know, it's funny because Jews all over the world every year say, next year in Jerusalem, next year in Jerusalem, because they're anticipating. And that year they were saying, this year in Jerusalem, this year, this is the year. Now let me illustrate what I think we see with Jesus and the prophets. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, he's the one that wrote the stories about Sherlock Holmes, is waiting for a taxi outside the railway in Paris. And a taxi driver drove up, put Doyle's suitcase in, and got in himself. And the driver asked, "Where can I take you, Mr. Doyle?" And Doyle was astounded and asked the driver if he recognized him by sight. The driver said, "No, sir, I've never seen you." Puzzled, Doyle asked, "Well, how do you know who I am?" And the driver responded, "This morning's paper had a story that you were on vacation in Marseille. This is the taxi stand where people who return from Marseille always wait. Your skin color tells me that you were on vacation. The ink spots on your right index finger suggest to me that you're a writer. Your clothing is English rather than French. Adding up all these pieces of information, I deduce that you had to be Sir Arthur Conan Doyle." Doyle exclaimed, "Man, this is truly amazing. You're like the real-life counterpart of my fictional character, Sherlock Holmes." He said, "Well, there's one other thing." Doyle said, "What's that?" And he said, "Your name was on the front of the suitcase." You know, we laugh at that, but isn't that what the Old Testament was? It was his name on front of the suitcase, so to speak. Jesus was written all over the prophecies. Everything that he did was what the prophets had said. He didn't miss one lick of fulfilling prophecy throughout his whole ministry. And that's how the Jewish people deduced that Jesus was the predicted Messiah. The pieces of prophecy added up to the picture, and the picture was this Jesus guy. His birth in Bethlehem, his virgin birth, he was a Nazarite from Nazareth, he's the lineage of David, people called him the son of David. Prophets foretold his story, even in a time frame. Even him riding into Jerusalem on a donkey colt, the practice that every king in Israel previously always rode a young colt when they were going to move to the throne. So all those along the route, the probable route he was going to ride, had learned from infancy the repeated words of Zechariah. And this is what Zechariah says. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just, righteous, and having delivered salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey. In Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 26, he said it would be 490 years from the time he gave that prophecy, 173,888 days until it happened. This is what he said, 70 weeks, and it really is 77, meaning 7 years, 77 years are determined for your people, for the holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. And that was Sunday. Sunday's coming. Let's return in our minds to that Friday before the Sunday, sometime in the early afternoon. Maybe they remember that at 6 o'clock it would be Sabbath on a Friday, and then they could not take any time. It wasn't a daylight savings time we have, so ours is at 7 o'clock, right? Theirs is still at 6 o'clock, and travel would be forbidden. Jesus, with his disciples on the way to the town of Bethany near Jerusalem, they were walking swiftly because they're going to go to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' home and stay there for the weekend and through the Sabbath until Sunday morning, when Jesus has a lot of things planned according to the scripture. Mark 10, 32 says this. Now they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was going before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid, because they knew the prophecies, didn't they? Then he took the 12 aside and began to tell them things that would happen to him. Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and to the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and scourge him, spit on him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. Wow. Can you imagine the disciples hearing that and thinking, that's not going to happen? Unbelievable prediction by Jesus when you think about it. Now it's Sunday. They've gone through the Sabbath. The Sabbath is over. 6 days before the Passover. The date is probably April 6th, AD 32. And Jesus intends to enter Jerusalem as their king. And this is precisely the time that Daniel and Zechariah's prophecy foretold. And it was scheduled 490 years in advance, like I said, and secular census records indicate that by the time he was going to go into Jerusalem, Jerusalem was already at 2.5 million people. Waiting for the Passover. An exciting rumor was circulating through the city. The Messiah is coming. The Messiah is coming. Outside Jerusalem is the common people to whom Jesus was popular, all waiting in anticipation. But inside the city of Jerusalem is the wealthy religious leaders. Excuse me. They had much to lose, both financially and in position, if they displeased the Roman leaders. These priests and scribes are plotting to kill Jesus because of their embittered feelings over their hurt accusations. Simple things like, you whitewashed tomb. How would you like to be called a whitewashed grave? But the common people had nothing to lose. So Mark continues in Mark 11, 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it. And immediately he will send it with you. Or he will send it there. Here. And so they went their way, and they found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those standing there said to them, what are you doing loosing the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so they let him go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And John says in 12:13, they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. And that's where we get our name, Palm Sunday. Verse 9, then those who went before and those who followed after cried, Hosanna, which means save us, we pray. Save us, please. It was an exclamation to a ruler. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And in Luke, we hear after they cry out, and some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. So today is a celebration. Today is a celebration for us. And we cry out. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Can you say that with me? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. If the worship team will return, we're going to worship together and we're going to think about this time. And what I want you to do is, as we worship, just think about a 3.5-mile trip on a donkey colt that has never been ridden. Jesus riding side saddle, which was the proper way in those days. And he rides and he rides, and the people are yelling and screaming, and they're so excited because the king is coming, and the king's just passed, and they want to touch him. They want to own him. They want to know that he's on their side. Rome's going to be put down. We're going to have a big war, but we're going to win because the scripture says that. In 1 week, the same people kill him. Unbelievable, isn't it? In 1 week, he's dead. But on the third day, he rises again. Let's just worship together.